thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. I'm going to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you're sowing. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never.
Hello listeners, and welcome to the latest episode of the Arkansas Shrimp Tank. I'm your laryngitis-suffering host, Rich Jensen, sitting here with my co-host, David Sims, and we're coming to you from the BRS Consulting Studio right here in Little Rock. No matter how long you've been in business, there's always lessons to be learned from others' experiences. The purpose of our show is to be a constant stream of knowledge to our listeners on all topics related to business and entrepreneurship. Each week, we bring in a special guest to share with us what they've learned in their industry, and we uncover keys to their success and ask what lessons they've learned in times they've failed. And ultimately, we want to find out whether our guests will swim or sink in the tank. As always, I mentioned, I'm here with my co-host, David Sims. How are you doing this morning, David?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Good to be back. Got back from Florida last night. Celebrated my folks' 65th wedding anniversary, man. It was a blast.
Yeah, I tried to talk to him during the weekend, and he was sitting on the beach.
Yeah, on the beach, down there just
sanding the toes.
Having a good time. Worked a little bit, but had a great Father's Day celebration, and it was just a great time, you know, great time. Good to be back.
Hey, I got for Father's Day for my kids, I got a new kind of mug. It's like, looks like a Yeti mug. Uh-huh. But they got this special kind of wax-like substance in it. And when you pour in the hot coffee, it goes into that substance. And then that substance heats up and melts. And then as it re-solidifies, it sends heat back into the coffee.
Oh,
so
wow.
I drank an entire cup of coffee over about a half an hour, and the last drop was almost as hot as the first.
You're kidding.
So that's pretty awesome.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. I got some AirPods. I was wanting some of those.
Well, they learned about it on a Kickstarter campaign. So
that's really cool.
Apparently they've done well with it.
Yeah. You know, I've really been looking forward to this show. That's one of the reasons I came back, was to be here. I've been trying to nail down this guy, this guest. And, I really think it's going to be all about, really about franchising, a very successful franchisee we're going to learn about. So let me just go ahead and jump in and introduce our guest. Brent Metters has come a long way since beginning his career as a Domino's pizza delivery driver in 1982. And I think that driving happened on a particular campus in Georgia. Is that right? Is it? Ugga? Is it kind of like Ugga? Is it Ugga? Is that where it started?
Yeah.
So we're going to have some fun in this shrimp tank, man. We got a gator. We got a Georgia Bulldog here. And so anyway, he purchased his first Domino's store in 1987, just 5 years after joining the company as a driver. Brent always dreamed of owning his own business. When he joined Domino's, he was convinced his dream would come true. Since 1982, he has owned over 40 Domino's locations in his career, sold quite a few, and today he owns 24 Domino's stores with two more under construction, all located right here in Arkansas. Brent was awarded the 2017 International Franchise Association Gold Franny Award.
That's Franny, not Fanny, right?
Franny, it's Franny. I looked at that several times. Had a friend in high school named Frank Frana, and we used to call him Franny.
Okay.
And, rabbit trail, I was about to go down somewhere. That got to stop.
Squirrel.
Yeah, squirrel. But anyway, the Gold Franny Award for Operational Excellence, which is awarded by the International Franchise Association. The Gold Franny Award is presented to the top 1% of franchise owners in the world. This is his sixth consecutive year winning the award. Only if we could have that success at the national championship. And it's like, you know, we got to get rid of Bama, right? I mean, one of us. I was actually rooting for you this past year. Anyway, the Gold Franny Award is the most prestigious honor bestowed on a Domino's franchise owner. He earned this award as part of an elite group within about 800 franchise owners in the United States. So, Rich, our listeners are going to hear the story of a Ugga shrimp, how he became a Domino's franchise owner shark. And along the way, they're going to learn some valuable entrepreneurial and business leadership lessons. Brent, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great to have you on.
Were you wondering if you were ever going to get to talk after that introduction?
It sounds as if there's a lot of talking going on.
Now you know why I have laryngitis. Hey, Brent, congratulations on your recognition. But can you share with our listeners a summary of how your career grew from delivery driver to top 1% owner? I mean, that must have been quite a journey.
Well, it certainly was. Excuse me. You know, when I started out in Domino's, I never anticipated becoming even a manager, let alone an owner. I was a physical education major. I was planning on coaching and teaching. And my last year of school, I was interviewing for jobs, and the starting salary was about $8,800 a year. It's a long time ago. And another buddy in the store said, hey, you could make $25,000, maybe even $30,000 managing one of these. I said, I'm in. I figured I'd do it a year, and it just I just never stopped.
Being a franchise pizza owner, is it as 24/7 as typical restaurant business, or does Domino's have the thing so well oiled that it's, I mean, you're here obviously on a Tuesday, so you have some time off.
Well, sometime, and you know, it took many years to kind of get to that point. I remember first moving to Arkansas, and my average work week was about 116 hours a week.
Wow.
Took a half day off on Sundays. That was about it. But, you know, it has been a great journey, and what makes Domino's unique in the franchising world is that you cannot own one unless you come up through the system first.
Really?
So 90% of Domino's franchise owners started as delivery drivers.
Really?
Believe it or not.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Hey, I have a friend who has a son that's been a delivery driver while he's at U of A. I had to tell him, hey, right, you're on the right career track.
That's right.
Yeah. You got a couple stores up there, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. So in the press release that announced by it was Domino's press release that announced your recognition and award. You said Domino's truly provides a fantastic opportunity to those who show initiative and a desire to advance. I have seen substantial growth in my stores over the past several years, and I plan to continue expanding. This growth is providing hundreds of jobs in Central and Northwest Arkansas. I plan to continue hiring for all positions, including management. What are the employment opportunities with your company right now?
Well, like I said, I mean, any advancement is going to come after entry level, which could be as a delivery person. It could be taking phone orders. It could be making pizzas. And it all starts there. But from there, those that really show initiative and really want to advance will be given opportunities. It's such a great brand because it really rewards hard work.
Do you have to be recognized by the existing owner you're working for and nominated as a potential franchisee owner? Or, well, I guess by then you're a manager at least anyway.
Right. Okay. And we do identify those that have a strong desire. In fact, in my company, we give them a franchising survey and ask them to fill that out and indicate their longer-term desire, whether it's to franchise or not, and how strong that is.
Okay. So just for my friend's son's edification here. How many years would you say it went from delivery driver till you became a manager, and then how many from a manager to becoming a franchise owner?
Well, every case is a little bit different.
Right. And I assume since you're one of the top guys, you were pretty fast.
So. Well, I went from driver to manager in training at $2.10 an hour, I believe it was. big money. And then became a manager after about 6 to 8 months, I think it was, of pretty intensive training, and then managed a year, and then became a supervisor, and then became an operations director, and then franchised.
So it's not like, hey, five years as a delivery driver, and then finally
you can... No, not at all.
Okay.
And are those the steps? Pretty much the steps for becoming an owner. Interesting.
Right. Well, not necessarily anything above manager. If you're a very successful manager, you can franchise from that point.
Oh, okay. Huh. How many employees do you have?
Between 700 and 800.
Wow.
Wow.
You are providing
quite a few
jobs.
Man, how do you like that payroll?
Well, you know, I like it.
That
means we're employing a lot of people, absolutely, which means we're selling a lot of pizza.
Yeah.
Hey, Brent, let's pull back a little bit and talk about kind of the basics of franchising. Share with our listeners kind of the fundamentals of being a franchise owner. You know, kind of what's it all about? I mean, a lot of people hear about it. They see it. They see the advertisements. They see become a franchise owner. I'm sure a lot of people, if this was a call-in show, would be calling in right now saying, hey, how was that process?
Well, again, because we're not open to externals to franchise, it does change the dynamic up a bit. And so our franchisees typically, they know the business inside and out, whereas with other types of businesses that are franchised, you got enough money, you can own one. Mm-hmm. And so that makes us a pretty tight-knit group. And that's one of the biggest, I think, attributes that we have and what keeps us close. And, you know, being a franchise owner is great in many ways. Now there's always a downside, too. There's pluses and minuses, mm-hmm. Because the franchisor is very wary of certain things, and we have to balance that. Mm-hmm. And so we have a franchisee association, mm-hmm. which is almost unheard of. We have 86% membership mm-hmm. within the franchise community. So that helps us balance things out a lot. But the franchisor is, you know, these days especially, they're handcuffed to a smaller degree because of the joint employer issue. Mm. And so they're kind of hands off on some of the things that used to be typically provided services mm. within the franchise community.
Yeah. A lot of times that happens. You know, laws come in that supposedly to protect one group, they make a lot harder for the business owner or sometimes even the employee mm-hmm. trying to do what they're trying to do. David, you're going to have to ask this question because, or Gordon, because my voice is gone.
Gordon's up, man. Gordon's chomping at the bit.
Yeah, I was curious. So this has to change gears a little bit to marketing. But since I knew you were coming on the show, I acquired one of the Domino's Slice the Price promo cards. Mm-hmm. So a free pizza every time I order a large pizza. And it doesn't seem, I've read the fine print, it doesn't seem that there's any cap on that. So with that, I know it's going to charity, but how do you guys throw out such an awesome promotion and still remain profitable?
Well, let me point out that is at menu price.
Sure.
Buy one.
The carryout special, I'm familiar, is not included in that.
Right, right. But yeah, we work with a lot of organizations through this company called Platinum Fundraising and hundreds throughout Northwest Arkansas and Central Arkansas. And so they sell these things and they keep 100% of the proceeds. Mm. And we make a lot of new friends. And that's really the objective here. It's not necessarily to be highly profitable on every transaction. It's to increase the number of friends that we have okay. with our business.
It's good almost, in the marketing phrase, a loss leader. So you might lose money on it, but you're building new relationships. Maybe some people are trying your pizza for the first time or for the first time in a long time and getting that.
Yeah.
Hopefully a benefit down the road for your charity work now. So.
Yeah, Gordon, you got a follow up.
Another question lately in the news, the Domino's Paving Roads campaign.
Yeah.
Where, if you have any knowledge on that, where did that come about and originate from? And it seems like a very odd direction for a pizza company to go.
Well, I think that if you looked at our track over the last few years, you might say we've gone a lot of, quote, odd directions, but they've been very, very smart moves.
Sure.
We have one of the greatest CMOs in the world, a guy named Russell Wiener. And he's just brilliant, and he knows what resonates with the public, and he does a great job of getting those messages out.
Any chance Chenal Parkway is going to see some paving?
Well, Chenal is not one of my locations.
Okay, fair enough.
Actually, I sold the Little Rock area locations a number of years ago.
Okay.
So I'm kind of on the outskirts, plus Northwest Arkansas, Hot Springs, River Valley, those areas.
So is there a good chance my friend's son actually works for one of your Domino's in Northwest Arkansas?
Might.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, so Brent, share with our listeners what your leadership philosophy and company culture is and how you develop your leaders and your culture.
Well, I tell you, I could talk all day about the company culture. And you know, I've learned a lot of things over many years in business and you know, made a lot of mistakes, but I've been smart enough to not repeat too many of them. Mm-hmm. But the biggest dynamic or the biggest change in the dynamic of my company was when we made a conscious decision to change our culture about 7 years ago, actually 8 years ago. And through that process, we learned an awful lot, but our business has exploded. We've been more successful than I could have ever dreamed. And it really boils down to being nice to people. And mm-hmm. I know that sounds overly simplistic, but it's true. You know, throughout the food business, especially in the QSR segment, people talk about product service image, product service image, product service image. And it always bothered me that we seem to be leaving out something. Mm-hmm. So it's no longer product, service, image. It's service, hospitality, image, and product, which spells SHIP. Mm-hmm. And our program is called Friends First. So friendship works out pretty well. Mm-hmm. Friends First simply means make friends first and make business second. Develop relationships. And from that, we developed a ton of information, a ton of training programs to help our folks really get it. But the bottom line is, if you asked an average worker in a business, what is profit? They could tell you maybe three words. Hmm. Money, a hungry person, or whatever. Hmm. If you ask them what a friend is, they can all of a sudden they can give you a list of loyal, trusting, serves, and on and on and on. Hmm. But aren't those the attributes we want from both the consumer side and the vendor side? And so they can understand that so much better than the other side. So we just say, you know, what's a customer? I mean, they don't, that you can't define that very easily for most folks. But what's a friend? They can define that all day long. And once they understand that that's the lens we want to look through, they make good decisions.
That's good. So friends first, business second. And what does the SHIP stand for?
Service, hospitality, image, and product.
Image and product. Interesting. That's good stuff.
I got the SH and the P, but I was missing the I, so I'm glad you asked him, David. That's great stuff.
Really good.
Hey, I'd like to take a moment to remind our listeners that you can catch today's broadcast and all past Shrimp Tank episodes at arkansas.shrimptankpodcast.com. The show is also available through iTunes, and we encourage you to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any of our shows. Each episode also includes a post-show video covering the highlights, which you can watch on our YouTube channel. So we want to move into what we call our brittle business critical thinking segment of the show. Ask you some questions about that. We kind of, they don't have to be long, elaborate answers, but we'd certainly like to get some nuggets from you. We like to call them shrimp cocktails. So I guess one of the first things I'd like to know, what are some of the key lessons you've learned over the years about the essential characteristics of a good franchisor? Maybe the ship and the friends is one of the things, but I'm sure there have been many over the 20 some odd years you've been doing this now. So.
The characteristics of a particular franchise or a
franchisor?
Just a good franchisor, in other words, who you're dealing with. You know, maybe all you know is Domino's because you grew up in it, but I'm sure you've heard stories about other franchisors and why Domino's sets itself apart.
Well, the biggest thing is that, and it's whether it's franchisor, franchisee, or parent and kids, or what, it's communication. And they do a great job of keeping us in the loop. And when we feel like we're not, they respond well when we bring that to their attention. So they really do take our ideas, our suggestions, and they do implement them. And I'm very proud of that. And I think our brand stands apart because of this collaborative effort that we have.
That's good.
I was going to jump in. I know your framework's a little bit different, as you said, because it's hiring from the inside. But when you were doing your due diligence, deciding, hey, do I want to pursue a franchise, were there any things that you could educate our listeners on in that process?
You know, it was pretty much, I'm going to franchise. And so I did. I mean, that's how much
fair enough.
But I will say this, that the turning point for me in my career was the moment I decided to trust myself and not listen to all the other voices in the world. Turns out that I'm usually right. My gut was right. But if you overthink things, you tend to muddy the waters.
Okay.
And we're in the shrimp tank. We don't want to do that.
Yeah. So trust yourself. That was a turning point. How long ago was that? Or what? At what point did you realize that?
Yeah, that's about 8 or 9 years ago.
8 or 9 years ago. Interesting.
That's when we launched Friends First. It's something that had always just kind of been in the back of my mind going, you know, I know we're missing this element, but nobody else is doing it, so I must be crazy to think this way.
Wow.
But turns out that it really does work.
That was the key to the turning point.
Yes.
So with that experience, what are the steps? You know, you've bought and sold a bunch of franchises. What are the steps a franchisee should take? You know, looking back with all the experience, what are the steps that franchisees should take before deciding, hey, I want to invest in this particular franchise? Can you boil it down to some essential steps?
Well, you have to remember that a franchise is being pitched to you by a salesman. And so doing your own diligence is extraordinarily important and really believing in whatever the business is, the franchise. And the other thing is to really make sure that the franchisor does listen. And it's amazing to me how often I hear stories where someone will say that they've tried to communicate something to the franchisor and they can't ever get through to a person. And, you know, we make them a lot of money.
Right.
So we expect them to respond to us, and that's important.
Yeah. In essence, you're their customer.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's exactly right. I mean, that's key. Yeah.
Hey, I have a question for you. On the financial and business end of things, running so many different franchises, do you have a CFO?
I do.
And at what point did you realize you needed one? Was that like right off the bat?
It was about 3 years ago.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So you went for quite a while doing that, huh?
Yeah.
What made you decide, hey, I need to offload this?
I got a good deal on the guy.
Well, how did you do it before? I mean, how did you manage those functions before? Outside CFO or accounting or what? How did you do it?
Accounting. Just had an accountant, and they were just down the hallway from me.
Okay.
And then I did pretty much everything else myself. And then if I ever got in trouble, I just pointed the fingers back at the accountant, and it was all good.
My next question was asking about financial disciplines, but is that one of them? One of the key takeaways is make sure you have a finger to point at somebody.
Financial disciplines, though, it's extremely important to develop a budget, and more important to stick to it.
Sure.
And I've done a very good job of that over the years. I just I'm really overly obsessive about it probably, but I say, no, that's not in our budget. We won't do it. And we leave a little flex there in some of the areas, but for the most part, we stick to it.
So, Brent, Scott Henshaw, the Domino's Executive Vice President of Franchise Operations and Development, praised your work, saying that Brent continues to deliver an unprecedented work ethic and great leadership to the Domino's brand. This kind of direction takes our brand to the next level, and we congratulate him on this great accomplishment, talking about the award that we mentioned at the beginning. So help our listeners understand this interplay between franchisor and franchisees and how important your business is to develop the company's brand and how that works.
Well, there's a lot of moving parts, but like I said, it's all about collaboration. We've all got to be on the same page and shooting for the same goals. And, you know, Domino's has done just a ridiculously great job of setting very high goals and then reaching them year after year after year. You know, they set a goal. We were at a worldwide rally 3 years ago, and our CEO, Patrick Doyle, at that time, he said, we will be the number one pizza company in the world by 2020.
Huh.
Well, we're already there.
That's right.
And we did it a couple years early.
Wow. That's awesome. Hey, we're going to take a short break to hear from our sponsors. And when we come back with our guest, Brent Metters, a Domino's multiple franchise owner, we'll get some more nuggets of wisdom on leadership and business growth. You won't want to miss it.
Here's Jimmy Ellis, president of the Jim Ellis Automotive Group, family-owned and operated since 1971.
I'm often asked what I enjoy most about working for a family-owned and operated business. And while the list is long, one thing that rises to the top, the opportunity to give back to our local communities. It's a practice my dad started 46 years ago and one that continues to shape our business today. And we wouldn't have that privilege without the support of our valuable customers. It's a simple philosophy, but it works. The more satisfied customers we create, the more we're able to give back. And because customer satisfaction is one of the cornerstones of our business, we created the Jim Ellis Promise, our way of emphasizing the higher level of service our customers can expect. To learn more about the Jim Ellis Promise, our brands, and to browse our inventory of cars, trucks, and SUVs, visit jimellis.com today. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
And welcome back to the Shrimp Tank, where we interview and gain wisdom from successful entrepreneurs, business owners, and CEOs. I'm your host, Rich Jensen, here with my co-host, David Sims, and our producer, Gordon Jensen. During the break, Brent, we were talking about leadership a little bit, and my next question was actually going to be focusing on leadership, but we started talking about what you learned as a franchisee from the CEO of your franchisor, Domino's, and it was pretty fascinating just to hear you talk about that. So kind of share with our listeners what you learned watching one of the top people basically bring your company to the number one pizza place in the world.
Sure. First of all, I'm a big fan of our exiting CEO, Patrick Doyle. Mm-hmm. I've known Pat for quite some time, and he just has all those traits that, you know, that he's so charismatic. When he walks in a room, he commands a room, but he doesn't demand it. He's simply who he is. But from Patrick all the way down throughout the franchisor side of things, the common thread is they know the business. They know the basics. If they walked into one of my stores to visit, they would make a pizza.
Hmm.
They would show that they still got it because everybody in our brand should know how to do all the basics.
Mm-hmm.
They'll jump in and help clean if the store needs it. I mean, they lead by example, and so they're trusted by the franchisees. Now, that doesn't mean we always agree, but we do trust, and we have a great deal of respect for them, especially Patrick. And I, like I said, I'm a big fan. He's a great leader. We're going to miss him, but we have another great leader stepping into his place starting in July.
That's interesting.
Brent, I was going to ask you with the Golden Franny. It was based off of several key performance metrics. So I was going to ask if you can share with our listeners what those were and then the steps that you took to complete those 6 consecutive years in a row.
Well, first and foremost, to do that 6 years in a row, it's not a whole lot about me, but it's about all those folks that happen to work in my company that do such a great job every day.
Mm-hmm.
We do give them some guidance and leadership, but they just work hard. and I'm very proud of them. You know, they're the metrics that are looked at are there are many. It's operational stuff like how are our comps, our sales compared to the previous year, and how are our operational audit scores, and how is our speed of service. You know, we measure everything from how long it takes for every pizza to go in the oven from the time we hang up the phone. We measure how long the phone orders last. We measure everything.
Hmm.
And we use those metrics to continue to refine the business over and over and over again. So it wasn't, it's not necessarily a matter of making your goal to win a Franny every year. It's a nice benefit. The goal is to be as good as we can be every year. And that's what we strive to do. We've been very fortunate. We haven't had a negative period, like a month, in 6 years. We've been double-digit positive in sales growth for, it was for 4 years in a row, and then since then, we've been 9 and 10, right at it.
Wow.
So we've been on a great roll. But again, it's because we've got so many folks that just work very, very hard to get the job done.
The you talked about operational audit scores and those kind of things, but there are three other categories: community involvement, store safety, and team member morale. How do you measure those? And just kind of briefly describe those for our listeners.
It's not the beatings will continue until morale improves.
That's right.
No, you know, it's just like I've said before several times, but it all starts, let's talk about team member morale. It all starts with listening, and we make sure that we listen. And everybody knows that I have an open door. We put a lot of surveys out. We solicit a lot of information from them. And especially when we hear something that they want that's doable, we'll bend over backwards to make it happen. We just put dishwashers in our stores. Instead of people washing dishes, we have machines doing it because we don't have a lot of dishes. But they loved it because they wanted it. And so we put them in. We have a communication, an intranet in our company, in my company, that features all of our team members. So every time we hire someone anywhere in the organization, their picture is displayed throughout our intranet in all of our stores. There's a big TV in the back of every store because we want to recognize them and welcome to the team. And so we want to reinforce our culture from the first minute that they're working within our company, even before that, through our interviewing process.
What about community involvement? What does that look like?
That looks like as many things as you could ever think about, but we, one of our focal points is through our Friends First program is say yes. Always say yes. And we bend over backwards to find opportunities to do that. And it's funny, the more that that happens, the more likely the manager or the supervisors of that area are going to go out and seek even more opportunities to become involved within the community. And we've done anything and everything you can imagine. We actually have a little wheel in our stores. You know, you spin the wheel. It says if you need to get an answer for one of our friends, simply spin the wheel. And, of course, it always lands on yes because that's the answer. And even if that answer is at first blush a no, you still find a way to say yes within that conversation.
Gotcha.
No, we can't donate 7,000 pizzas to you this week, but we can donate X. And so we try to always find the opportunities to do that.
Gotcha.
Giving back, making sure that our service people, firefighters, policemen, we always take care of all them, feed them. We appreciate teachers and show them that as much as possible. But really, any way you can become involved in the community, we try to do that.
Interesting. Very interesting. So we had one other question. We're probably going to have you back talk about that corporate culture shift 7-8 years ago and talk more about your leadership. But very briefly, so we can get in our last segment, talk about how you develop your leaders, what the levels of leadership are, and what are the perks that you use to recruit and retain them.
Well, boy, that's a lot of information.
Okay.
But I'll say
you got 20 seconds.
We do a lot when we're recruiting our management. We almost always hire it from within. It's almost always a driver or a pizza maker or a shift runner that we promote to a manager. We've not been nearly as successful bringing people from the outside. So promoting from within is just – it follows from the franchisor all the way down to the way we do business. It just – it's the same thread. It's learn the basics, get good at it, work hard, and you'll advance. We pay well.
Above managers?
That's a big deal.
Above managers? What's your next level?
Above a manager is an area supervisor, which would be responsible for about 5 locations in those managers.
How many of those do you have?
Four.
Four? Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's kind of at a high level. Yeah. Yeah, so they're kind of like a maybe a vice president of operations or something.
Well, regional. And then I have a director of operations that manages the supervisors.
Okay.
And a training director, and then myself and the office staff.
Yeah, so you and then office staff, CFO, and then those levels.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
Well, hey, we want to move into the final segment of the podcast. And the way this works, Brent, is we call it Plead the Fifth. And we'll ask you questions. And if you answer them, you get a point. If we can get you to plead the fifth and not incriminate yourself, we get the point. And if we win, we get free pizza for a year. And if you win, you get to take home this beautiful shrimp tank Yeti mug.
heck of a bargain, right?
Okay.
All the joy just went out of the room.
That's right. Well, I'm very competitive, and I'm not concerned.
Well,
let's go.
I have to say that David did most of these questions. They're pretty tough. I think he definitely wants to win here. So, okay, I got the first one.
I like Domino's pizza, man.
What are the secret proprietary ingredients in a Domino's pizza?
Okay. You used the word proprietary. I think that we need to scratch that one right off the list.
He pled. Okay.
Oh, come on.
We got that one. All right. What about this one, Brent? What are some things you've recently learned in meetings with Domino's franchisor side leadership that might provide investors some good moves on the New York Stock Exchange DPZ ticker symbol?
You know, I've been around a long time, and I'm not fond of the idea of going to prison at this point. So,
That's all in fun.
Gordon's going to ask a real question that you might actually answer.
Okay, so here's one that's not just a softball. So, what is the worst business mistake that you've made as a franchisee?
That really is pretty easy. And I made this mistake a lot a number of years ago before I learned to do what I said earlier, which is trust myself. And there were many times where I would have an idea and want to implement something, and I would hear other franchisees or other people, that's not going to work. Here's why. And I would listen sometimes, and I would table that idea or just nix it completely. And that was a huge mistake, because I would have been much further on down the road had I trusted myself earlier.
Hmm. All right, so 2-1.
Don't listen to the naysayers, huh? All right, which one of your stores is your favorite?
It's kind of like asking which kid, right?
Yeah, but, that's why we get you to plead the fifth.
Well, I mean, I've got one. Uh-huh. It's Bentonville, Arkansas.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. When I bought that store, it actually had closed down. It was doing nothing in sales.
Hmm.
And I went up there and opened that store. This is, 12, 13 years ago. And it's one of the top stores in the Southeast.
You convinced all those Walmart executives and vendors to buy pizza.
Well, I think so. We learned how to sell pizza to cows, and that's why we're selling a lot of it.
I bet you it's going to continue to grow, too, with what's going on up there, man, with that headquarters being put in and the innovations you guys are bringing, Domino's is bringing. Okay, so which location is the black sheep?
Well,
he sold all those off.
That's where I was getting ready to go.
You better not say that online. I advise you to think carefully before you answer. Yeah, how long ago were those sales?
Yeah, plead the fifth.
All right, I've got one. When the Metters families gather together and it's dinner time, and you say, "We're having Domino's pizza for dinner," is there a collective groan? Has the family grown tired of Domino's?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
And I'll tell you. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why.
Tell me.
When I originally sold some locations in Little Rock, part of the buy-sell agreement was my family got free pizza for life.
Hmm. There you go.
So free is good.
Wow.
Free is free.
Hey, you ever adopted a family? The Sims would be up for adoption.
As a matter of fact, I have. So
yes, that's true.
You and all seven kids there in. All right, last one. Hey, I understand, like me, you've recently become a grandpa. So which would you take time? What would you rather do, take time with your kids or time with your granddaughter?
Well, that's a tough one, but I'm going to say my granddaughter.
Of course.
I've spent a lot of time with my kids over the years,
right.
But man, boy, she's precious.
He nixed us.
I would say the same thing.
He got us.
In fact, they say that, grandkids is God's reward for not killing your children.
I can see that.
I can't say that, though. Oh, my kids were all pretty good. They didn't give me a whole lot of hassle growing up. So.
Well, you want it. You want it there, Brent. Good job.
Good thing we had those two ringer questions in there that he couldn't answer, so we at least got some points.
Yeah, we did. We did pretty good.
Well, Brett, you fared pretty well in the plea to fifth. We want to just kind of finish up. David wants to talk to you about what we call rehirement.
Yeah, so Brent, our plan, our podcast sponsor is BRS Consulting. They refer to themselves as rehirement, not retirement advisors, meaning that that really the idea of rehirement is once you accomplish your goals and have enough in savings to fund your living expenses through death, there's a rehirement period to where until death, which we define as our sponsor defines as retirement. There's a period of time where you're going to reinvest. You're going to take all the life experience and kind of pour back into others. What's something you could see yourself doing with all this experience that you've had, this success that you've had as a Domino's franchise owner? What will you see in that phase, that rehirement phase, once you finish this next run and accomplish your goals?
Actually, I've got a pretty clear vision of that. I've had the great fortune to speak all over the world about our hospitality program, Friends First, everywhere, London, Australia, all over the U.S., and I really enjoy speaking, but more importantly, I love seeing the results that are garnered after I speak to certain groups when they go out. And I want to be a bigger part of that and see that. And I want to really tailor that down to help push more personal growth, not just the business side with the groups that I speak to. So the follow-up portion of that is something that I'm still working on, but I'm excited about it.
Yeah, so you hit that goal, and then that'd pretty much be your full-time kind of rehirement gig.
Right.
Yeah, continue to move in that gifting. That's great, and that experience.
Well, Brent, we want to thank you so much for coming on the program today. For those folks that maybe want to start out as a pizza delivery owner, what's the best way for them to kind of get in contact with you?
Oh, that's easy. Jobs.dominoes.com.
Okay.
And just click on a location that I own, Northwest Arkansas. The River Valley, Hot Springs.
Does it say owned by Brent Metters so that they can know that?
it's my company's Imagy Pizza Enterprises, and that's something that they should be able to recognize.
Great. Okay. Well, hey, for you that are listening, we want to remind you that you can watch the post-show wrap-up video on our YouTube channel. If you missed part of the podcast, then be sure to go to arkansas.shrimptankpodcast.com and hear the entire podcast. As also, you can go to iTunes and hit the subscribe button so you can listen to it in your car or anywhere else you might be traveling. Until next week, stay safe and remember to become a shark in the business world. We all start out a shrimp.
Like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When you take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When you take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank. We're the Chris Hanks. We want to put it all together. This is big things. Doing big things. Chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real. This life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream. All the dudes yell. This is just what I do, and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, but homie, keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you're sowing. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never. Going hard as ever, the results match the effort. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When you take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When you take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.